Joining us now, we have with us James Peek, who is with FAVA.
Good morning.
Firelands Association for the Visual Arts.
Yes.
One of the organizations in the new Union Center for the Arts.
Correct. One of five.
Five. We've talked with Denise Gula from Ohio Dance Theater. We also have with the Mad Factory over there. That's three. The Choristers? Are the Oberlin Choristers located
That's correct.
There?
Can you think of the fifth one?
I can't. What is the...
It's the Northern Ohio Youth Orchestra.
Okay.
They have their administrative offices in that building.
You have art and music all the time.
Yes.
Is it a quiet place, or is it kind of a...
Depending on the time of the day, but usually right around, mid-afternoon, right after school lets out, it gets pretty noisy because there's lots of kids coming through for different art classes for all the different organizations.
And your organization does offer classes for...
We do. And in fact, so I'm in charge of the art education program at FAVA. I'm the education and outreach coordinator. And we offer a wide variety of art classes for students of all ages, starting at age 3 all the way up to 103. And we specialize in a lot of introductory level art classes. For instance, we have ceramics, jewelry making, painting and drawing. Personally, I like to fold paper, so I teach a lot of origami classes. We have a monthly origami session that actually meets here at the public library in Oberlin called Favagami, which is a free drop-in folding group that's open to all ages and people with any experience level. Something that I specialize in.
When did you start doing that, and at what point did you say, hey, I can really do something with this?
Well, when I was an Oberlin College student about 10 years ago, I just kind of stumbled onto paper folding through a good friend of mine, and he would fold these sculptures that we call corrugation origami. It's not your traditional origami of like cranes and flowers and that kind of thing. But it got me interested in folding paper, and I discovered that I had a knack for teaching origami, and so I got really involved to the point that I actually traveled to origami conventions that take place all around the world. It took me to Japan this past summer. Next month, I will be traveling to Colombia as a special guest to an origami convention in Cali, which I'm quite excited about and honored. To be a part of.
Craig, I made a unicorn last year. An origami unicorn.
Hey, that's no walk in the park.
That's no walk in the park because it requires two halves, which I did not realize when I started because I thought, oh, there's several steps. And then I think, okay, now you just made the back half. I had to make the front half of that as well. I was helping my daughter with a school project.
But so you did it.
I eventually did it. It's interesting now because origami, I had a book when I was younger. It was basically a page by page, how to fold, and you look at the diagram. Now there are videos, which I don't know if that's any more helpful or not.
It depends on the folder. Some people fold a lot better if they're following somebody's videos, on YouTube, for instance. Depends on the video, too. Some videos are made better than others.
Right. Yeah. What's that step they just missed? Wait, what angle am I looking at? When you're teaching something like that, what is the process to teach a student?
Well, typically, when I have this introductory folding class that I teach. I have the set list of models that I always use. And, through those models, we learn a lot of the basic folds. I teach a lot of the vocabulary and terminology that we use in origami. And we start really easy. We just work our way up. And, we find a lot of connections through the different models. This style of teaching, I'm usually standing in front of a group of people, and I usually use a sheet of paper that's a bit bigger than the paper that the students are folding with, and I just make sure everybody's, on the same page, and if anybody is ever stuck on anything, I encourage them to flag me down and stop, and I'll come and catch everybody up. The classes that I teach, I feel like, just about anybody could, accomplish the models that we approach because they're pretty simple and I have a method to how I present them.
Is there stories involved or history that you teach on that? Do you add that element?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing how many different connections you can make when folding an origami model. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I might give some background about an origami designer and their artwork. The common connection that's made with origami in history is, you know, with folding the traditional paper crane and the story of Sadako and the 1,000 paper cranes, who was a, you know, a young child during World War II who, you know, was affected with radiation poisoning and folded 1,000 cranes to wish for world peace. So, you know, that's a common connection you can make. But you can also make connections to areas such as science or mathematics. I really love using origami to talk about mathematical concepts with kids. And what's cool is that you kind of slip it in there, and the kids think they're just folding an origami model and having fun, and they are. But, you know, they're also getting a geometry lesson, right, and learning about angles or, you know, just certain vocabulary. You know, it's just a good way of communicating math through a different medium that's a lot more exciting than, you know, a textbook for
one
a kid.
Other question about origami, we'll move on to some other things.
Yeah.
Is there a specific paper that is used for that?
Well, there's lots of different papers that are well suited for folding, but there is a traditional type of paper called kami, which is spelled K-A-M-I, and it's very common, it's very inexpensive. It typically is some color on one side and then white on the back. And of course, that's useful because then you can help distinguish between one side and the other. But then also a lot of origami models make use of that color change. For instance, you might fold a model with a black side and a white side, and in the end you might end up with something like a skunk or a nun or a penguin.
Have you ever done a class where you didn't tell them what they were making until the very...
You know, my very first model that I always teach in my beginner's class, I don't tell the students. But from there on out, you know, I don't keep them on the edge of their seat. Yeah.
So besides the classes, there's exhibit. You have a gallery.
Yes, there. Yes. So, you know, Fava has two gallery spaces. And they are always free and open to the public. We feature contemporary artists who are generally from our own region. And we currently have a show by a solo artist named Claire Murray Adams called Clothing as a Metaphor, which is open until November 9th. And we also have coming up.
Now, before you move on to that, how can you explain the title that's called Clothing as a Metaphor?
Okay.
Right?
This body of work, I don't want to give too much of it away, and I don't really want to speak too much to you know, what the artist was trying to say, because you know, I think there are a lot of layers here, but you know, she's using clothing as a way of talking about you know, different I guess struggles of you know that occur, you know, transpire from you know, I don't think I can explain it.
Okay.
You have to come check it out.
It's
sorry.
It's like trying to explain a magic trick without doing
right,
it.
Right, right.
It's all right.
But is it actual clothing that she has made or that she has found, or is it really?
Yes, there are a lot of clothing elements within the exhibit. But she uses materials that you wouldn't normally use, like for a dress, for instance, and you know, and that's to, you know,
make the
give
point
a message.
To, okay.
Yeah, right, right.
All right,
right.
All right. We won't go any further into that because, as you say, many times also going into a gallery, being surprised, being your own interpretation of what is there is really what kind of puts it together. What other things are there as well at the galleries?
Well, coming up, we have our annual holiday members show. Now, anyone can join Fava. It's one way it's one of our ways of, you know, generating a little bit of revenue throughout the year. But there are a lot of special perks to being a member of Fava, and one of those is the opportunity to exhibit in our annual holiday members show, which will open the Sunday right before Thanksgiving weekend. And any member of Fava can submit up to two works, and so we end up with this really diverse, eclectic collection of artwork, and it's a really great opportunity for artists or people who make art who don't normally go out and have solo exhibitions in other galleries, or, you know, who aren't at that point in their career, and so you get to exhibit your work alongside lots of other really fantastic artists. There's something for everyone. And again, that opens the Sunday right before Thanksgiving. And if you'd like to become a FAVA member, you can visit our website at favagallery.org. And there's a online membership application you can download, or you can stop by and fill one out. And then you can get more information about entering the membership.
A lot of things that are going on there. I still have from many, many years ago a FAVA tie, a necktie.
Oh, how about
somebody that? Who was an artist. And it's interesting because maybe an art is something you hang on the wall. This one you hang around your neck.
Right, right. So wearable art.
Wearable art. So it's always kind of special. And it makes it so unique, which is, you also have a gift, you know, a shop there too, right, for some of the
things. We do. We have a store called Uncommon Objects. It's a store where local artists can showcase their work and sell their work. And that store also doubles as our sort of information desk. It's right there at the front of the building when you walk in. And so there's some really nice items in the gift shop. Again, a very diverse collection of work, very eclectic. A lot of photographs, jewelry, paintings, and some textile art. There's more wearable art. There's some handmade garments and scarves, and some really beautiful stained glass window hangings that are available for sale.
And a lot of different artists, as you say, are be a part of it. It's the Firelands Association with Visual Arts, or FAVA, as it's kind of known. I still like this FAVAGAMI. This is really intriguing me a lot. James Peek for FAVA, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Coming in here.